And it's going to make a good point. How can I truly walk with God unless I agree with God? I believe it's Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Minister Killings, you're back there? Praise God. I saw you on channel 2 this morning. I saw a glimpse of your picture. They had. I think you were sitting over there. You were on this side, so you were on the left side. That was you? I thought it was. I'm like, praise God. That's Minister Killings. I said, that's Councilman. That's how I said it. That's Councilman over there. Yeah, they're doing some camera watching on Highway 4. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. I was waiting for it to get there. Okay. Hallelujah. We usually use that. When I say we, ministers usually use that at weddings, in sharing with the couple, or even in counsel. Because the scripture says that God hath made both or the two one. Therefore, what God has put together, let no man put asunder, if you will. And so here, the prophet Amos says, can two walk together except they be agreed? In other words, how are you going to walk together if you're going in different directions? You have to be going in the same direction. You don't want to be unequally yoked with somebody. If they're going this way and you're going that way, it's like it's not going to work. It's one thing if you're already in that situation, you know, you have to really believe God and trust God to change that. But to go into a situation knowing that the person is not, it's like, no, don't even waste your time because you're just asking for trouble. Praise God. You got to be going in the same direction. Hallelujah. Praise God. Individual recently said, this church is just, it's too strong. I don't know any other way. I'm sorry. I don't know any other way. Hallelujah. You know, and I'm not saying it to badmouth a person, but it's like I can't see the church any other way. If I read in scriptures, which I try and do on a daily basis, and if I apply the faith that I've been given by God, because God has dealt to each one of us the measure of faith. If I read what Peter wrote, if I read what John wrote, if I read what Luke wrote, Matthew wrote, if I read especially what Paul wrote, because Paul wrote more than all of them, and I can feel, I can feel, if you will, and not getting spooky or anything like that, but I can feel what they were going through. You know, I can feel how Paul was saying, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord." That's what he told the church at Galatia. When he was saying, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord," he's saying, I've been branded. You know, I've been marked. I identify with Christ. Scars because of being with Jesus. Not because he had did something wrong, but because he was totally devoted and sold out to Jesus. You know, the persecutions that he had, but, you know, he was Jesus. When I say he was, I mean, Jesus possessed him. He belonged to him. Paul identified with Christ. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ. I'm up there on that cross, past the cross, in the tomb, out of the tomb, resurrected from the dead. For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain." That's just, you know, union. That's one. The same persecutions and things that Jesus experienced, Paul was experiencing, and even the other apostles were experiencing as well. It's because they were walking together in agreement. How can two walk together except they be agreed? It's impossible. And so how can I walk with God if I'm going in this direction and God is going in that direction? You know, that's the ultimate oneness that we must strive for. You know, if we have that, then we can, you know, deal with the horizontal relationships. But if we don't have that, it's going to be tough because everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a way of doing things, and we all do things differently. There's some things we do similarly, but the thing of it is overall, if we are in him and he is in us, we ought to be one, hallelujah, going in the same direction, not that we are going in, but that he is going in. And when we look in light of the word of God and see how they live their lives, and it's like, to me, I think about it regularly now, How in the world did we get to where we are? I know we have all of these fancy gadgets and things like that. I know we've advanced in society as far as knowledge and all, but our conviction, our faith, how do we get so far way over here when they are way over here with theirs? And they seem to have drawn more attention from God and experienced God working in them mightily, much more than what we do in this day and time. And we're the church of the living God. We're them now in this in the flesh, alive on this earth. And if Jesus tarries, we too will go on. And what will we leave behind? Will we leave something for a generation to strive at being their best that they can be for God? Or will we leave it over to a lukewarm society, which is what the stage pretty much we're in now? It's just that we haven't gotten to that place yet. What do I mean? As Jesus was talking to the seven churches, if you will, we haven't gotten to the place of where Revelation kicks in and we go through the seven-year tribulation and then the thousand-year millennial reign and then while Satan is bound and then Satan is loose and then we have the battle of Armageddon and then Christ just wipes the devil out and everything is eternally bliss forever and ever and ever. So we're not there yet. But we can see as a church, we're kind of like different from the scriptures. When I say, I'm talking about us as a whole. You know, we're doing our best to get to where we're supposed to be as far as lining up with God's will. Because really, this is the agreement that we must come into agreement with. So if we can't walk with this, we can't be in agreement with God. And if we're not in agreement with God, how can we walk together? Hallelujah. Praise God. So, how can I truly walk with God unless I agree with God? Hallelujah. To agree with God is to say the same thing God says in His Word about salvation, about healing, about answer to prayer, and an overcoming life. These are the words of a man who had a deep walk with God but was highly ridiculed. And even to this very day, people speak negative of him, many do, as they speak of those who are of the Word of Faith movement, if you will. And these were simply men that took God at His word. They were accused of being manipulators, charlatans, and, you know, just prosperity preachers along that lines. But when you read God's word, you see prosperity in it. I mean, God made Abraham wealthy, and that blessing went on to Isaac to the point where Isaac, as I said earlier, when we were praying over the offering, Isaac sold in the land during famine. You know, drought, no food, nobody growing crops. And he sows, and God blesses. And in the same year, he reaped 100 times what he planted. Abraham dug wells, and then Isaac came back and redug those wells. And then I think it was Abimelech's men that came in and, you know, filled up the wells. But everywhere Isaac would go and dig a well, water would come. He was just blessed at everything he did. Jacob, trickster, shyster, stole his brother's birthright. Praise God. God saw Jacob and was pleased with him. He looked at Esau and he despised him. Esau could care less about his position in God. He cared more about satisfying his flesh rather than pleasing God. So God said, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated for some pea soup. He sold his birthright. Sad thing is towards the end when Isaac was getting ready to die, then all of a sudden Esau wants his birthright. And it's like, no. And he didn't get it. Jacob got it. So Jacob gets in the lineage. It should have came through Esau. But because Esau rejected God and thought very little of his birthright, his position with his dad being the head of the family, also being the recipient of the blessing of God, he thought very little of that. Don't ever despise your birthright in Christ Jesus. Don't ever minimize it or make it less than your natural birth. You keep your birthright in God, in Christ, first and foremost. Because that secures the blessing. Your earthly birth does not secure the blessing. It's your spiritual birth. Again, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You got to agree with God. You got to agree with God's word and what his word says. And this is a confession. The individual I'm talking about is E.W. Kenyon. Some of you may have heard of his name before. Some of you may not have. But he, of course, he's long gone now and in the presence of God. But there were some things that he taught, and then it inspired many men of faith that went out and did great exploits for God. I agree with God. When I saw this, it was like, oh, he wasn't the one that coined this, although he was good. I agree with God that I am who God says I am, his heaven-born child, a new creature in Christ, more than a conqueror through Christ. I disagree with the devil who tells me I am no good, a failure, a weakling, that I am going under. I agree with God and disagree with the devil. That's not something that you can just say one time, because life doesn't just stop at a one-time moment. It continues on. But every time you face situations and circumstances, you have to come back to that confession. We're to hold fast to our confession of hope, our confession of faith, if you will. We're to hold fast in that we declare it, we decree it, we call it done, we live by it, we fight by it. The just shall live by faith, hallelujah, and we fight. We fight so that that word that God says concerning us will come to pass. This is what I believe Paul was speaking to Timothy, I think it was, concerning the prophecies that came over his life. You got to earnestly, that was Jude that said earnestly contend, but you got to fight in order to see this word come to pass. I shared it with you before, and this word they're repeating right now. Brother Umana, that one year where I was talking about, you know, the number of sperms that are released, and all it takes is one to fertilize that egg, but you know, the millions that have didn't make it, I'll put it like that. And just in describing that, Brother Umana just shouted out, I won! And it was like, whoa, praise God. He saw like warfare in the womb. It's like he came through, because there could have been a million others that have came through, but you came through. And so in everything, there's that fight, but it's the good fight. It's the good fight of faith. It's obtaining the promises of God. And you got to be willing. You got to be tough in the kingdom. Hallelujah. If you're going to see things happen, what do they tell you in the natural? Work what? Yeah, somebody tell me. Talk to me. Work what? Work hard and it'll pay off, right? Something like that. If you work hard, it'll pay off. You'll be successful. Well, if you fight the good fight of faith, you'll be successful. If you agree with God and disagree with the devil and be willing to earnestly contend for the faith that you have, you will be successful in the kingdom. But if you're going to sit back and wait on God to go and fight for you, God is like, did you not read what I told my servant David? What did you tell your servant? Well, he didn't just tell him, but he actually taught him. David said, God teaches my hands to war. So those battles that David fought and won, God is the one that raised him up and trained him to fight and defeat the enemy. It was God's power working on David. And when we stand and when we start to exercise our faith, God starts working with us. We start putting things into action. And it's like, that's when God acts, when we act. If we sit back and do nothing, God sits back and does nothing too. And then when we see others exercising their faith, acting on their faith, and we see God working in them, and then we look, and then we say, well, I don't know why he, start comparing, and I don't know why he would do something for them and not do something for me. Work it. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight against the opposition of doubt and unbelief. Fight against that thing in your mind telling you not to do something that God told you to do. Hallelujah. Agree with God and disagree with the devil. Know the tactics and the tricks of the devil. Earnestly contend for the faith. I don't know why that keeps coming up, but that's what you need to do. Earnestly contend for the faith. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's very deceptive. That's his most lethal weapon, is to deceive you, make you think something is real when it's not, make you think something is fake when it's real. Know the tactics of your enemy. That's how you defeat him. Be like a boxer who studies his opponent. I'm not telling you to go and study and do a thesis on the devil. You know, we just know he's a liar and the father of lies. He's a thief, if you will. He's a murderer. And he's underneath our feet. Hallelujah. Jesus has given us victory over him. But still, if he comes and pushes you around, you're going to have to hit back. So, agree with God, disagree with the devil. How may I walk? I'm almost done. How may I walk with God in power, blessing, and usefulness? That's a good question. How may I walk with God in power, blessing, and usefulness? Now, the question is profound. The answer is simple. But the answer being so simple, it's like, that's just too simple. But that's how it works in the kingdom. That's exactly how it works. How? Let me tell you. How may I walk with God in power, blessing, and usefulness? By agreeing with God that I have what he says I have. First one was, I agree with God that I am who God says I am. Second one is, I have what God says I have. I have his name. I have his nature. I have his power. I have his authority. I have his love. I agree that I have what God says in his word that I have. Sometimes we can hear stuff so much. Again, I have to echo the words of Jesus. If you know this, happy are you if you do it. Hallelujah. Knowledge won't do you any good until you start to work it. Praise God. You've seen people who go to school. I'm not against school. I'm not against education. I believe in it. But people who go to school and then they graduate and then they either get a job that has nothing to do with what they went to school for. I'm telling you, God gave me some wisdom when I was young, when I used to work in the factory and was going to San Jose State. This job came on the board, and it was an accounts payable job. And I was working in the factory, but I was a major. And my major was business administration, accounting. concentration in accounting. So I wanted to be a businessman. I wanted to be an accountant. And when I saw that job on the board, I'm out there, you know, working on this rotor machine, cutting these grooves in these rotors, if you will. And I see that on the board. I'm like, wow. I didn't know they had those kind of jobs here, because all I know is a factory. I didn't know anything about administration up front. I saw that on the board. I said, man, I don't have enough experience to apply for it. I kid you not, but this is just what. But the next time that job come on the board, I'm going to be ready for it. About a year and a half went by. Boom, on the board. Boom, what did I do? I said, San Jose State, you ain't giving me what I need right now. I'm going over to Hills Business College. I'm going to get me some hands-on experience. I'm going to learn how to do some accounting, some accounts payable, because they're giving me all of this theory at State, but I need some practical. And so I got that. By the time I was done with the class, the job came on the board. I applied. Boom, I got it. Those were my last days of working out in the factory. Exercising faith, believing. And that was not in God. Now I'm in God. Hallelujah. Enoch walked with God, and so do I, by agreeing that I have received the ability to do what God says I can do. So, I agree with God. I am who he says I am. I agree with God. I can do what he says I can do. I agree with God that I have what he says I have. I agree. Can you agree? How you? Who? Hey, who? Praise God. Enoch walked with God, and so do I, by agreeing that I have received the ability to do what God says I can do. Witness with power, cast out demons, minister his healing power. I can do all things through Christ. I agree I can do what God says in his book that I can do. It's simple, but it's profound, because it's like, yeah, that's it. That's it. God says I can do. When they say, by whose authority are you doing this? Jesus was like, the baptism of John. Was it of men or was it of God? Well, if we say it was of God, he's going to ask us, why didn't we believe him? And if we say it was a man, we fear the people, because the people believe that John was a prophet. So we're not going to say anything. We don't know. Something like that. Jesus said, neither will I tell you by whose authority I do this. But by whose authority do you do this? By whose authority do you lay hands on the sick? By whose authority? I'm asking you a question. I'm asking. Okay, by whose authority? Because he said we could do it. I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. So by Jesus' authority. And because it's Jesus' authority, he told us to do it. It's not up to us in the sense of what happens after we obey him. We expect, and we ought to expect, the results. But the results are now left in his hand. There were people that Jesus could not heal because of their unbelief. So we don't get moved if somebody doesn't, you know, immediately receive their healing. We just walk away knowing I did what Jesus said. I did it in his name. I did it in his authority. Hallelujah. Glory. I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. That's all in that confession. That's all in that confession. I agree I can do what God says in his book that I can do. If I speak only what my senses dictate, I will not agree with God. Cannot live by your feelings and your emotions, your senses. seeing, hearing. Faith coming by hearing, yes, hearing by the word of God, if you will. But just the natural senses, the five senses that we have in life. We can't go by that. The just shall live by, not by senses. Hallelujah. You know, we've said that before. You may wake up and not feel saved, but you don't go by that. I don't feel saved. I need to pray the prayer again. Can you lead me in the sinner's prayer? Can you just believe your confession? Hallelujah. Hold fast to your confession of faith without wavering. Don't vacillate. You are who you are in Christ because God says you are who you are in him. You don't go by your feelings or by your senses. If I speak only what my senses dictate, I will not agree with God. It is speaking the word only by which I agree with God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? One translation, I think it might be New King James, says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? But that's essentially what it's saying. So I've got to say what God says. And in order to say what God says, I got to know what he says. And the way I know what he says is by getting in this word and let that word get in me. By which I agree with God. It is the confession of faith that is my victory. To walk with God, I disagree with the devil. Jesus did by boldly declaring, it is written, I resist the devil by the word. Daily, I walk with God by agreeing with God and his word. Because he said it, I may boldly say it. Hallelujah. I'll read this and then we'll stop. Realization can only follow confession. We walk in the light of our testimony. The word becomes real only as we confess its reality. Satan fears our testimony. If you confess something with your mouth, it reacts upon your heart or your spirit. And that's what I was teaching our granddaughter, Nevaeh, and I shared it with you. The tongue is the pen of a ready writer. As the pen is in the hand of the writer as he writes on that piece of paper, so the tongue is a pen that records or writes the words upon the tablets of our heart. David said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. The word is not just for memorization. It's for living, confessing, and agreeing with it because God said it. Hallelujah. If God said we can do it, we can do it. If God commands us to do something, we better do it. Hallelujah. If we go off and do our own thing, we're not in agreement with him. Remember what Jesus says? Where two or three are gathered and touching anything, let's go to Matthew chapter 18 so I don't misquote it. Jesus. We'll do this and we're done. Again, I say to you, verse 19, unto you, that if two of you, this is just two, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, that touching is coming in agreement, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And Jesus is talking about unity, but he's talking about agreement. And it's coming in agreement with God. Because that's how we can touch and agree. We got to have something common. This word is really all that we need. This word is our unification right here. Because we all come from different backgrounds and different experiences in life, and we bring those experiences and that background into the kingdom with us. But it takes the word of God to wash us of that stuff so that we can now agree with God. Because in the world, we learn things, and we learn to accept things, and we learn to live by the things that we accept. whatever limitations or anything like that. We're more dependent on man than we are on God. We're more dependent on government than we are on God. Government would have you to rely upon them more than God. Man, some things I just want to share with you, but some people might get offended, but it's like what God is doing right now in this nation. You know, they're praying in the White House. Praise God. I know it might upset some people. And I'm not so gullible that I would be all up in a person's butt because they prayed. But there's a consistency of things that are happening. And if you can just see it from God's perspective, you'll see that, ooh, praise God. Good days are here. Hallelujah. Good days are here. Yes, they are. Good days are here. Praise God. Good days are here. You got spirit-filled. We got tongue-talking preachers that are hanging around the most powerful man in all the world. I mean, you got men like John Hagee, who's not going to back down from anybody, telling the president about how he needs to treat Israel, telling him about biblical prophecy. You've got others that are speaking to him. And I'm not saying he's listening to everything they say, because he's himself. He's his own man. But he is taking heed to some of the counsel. Hallelujah. They passed that bill, and that major tax bill, and they in the office, and he even had Ben Carson pray. Yeah, Ben lead us in prayer. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Good times are here. Don't put your head in the sand. Now, with these good times also comes persecution. Okay? Jesus don't have no problem with you prospering. He says, you who give up everything for me and my sake and the gospels, he says, you will have 100 times whatever you give up with persecution now in this time. So you have everything you need and more with persecution. But don't be afraid of the persecution. Don't be afraid of the objection. Don't be afraid of the ridicule. Don't be afraid of the mocking. Keep marching in what you know is right. I take you back to what I was saying. When you know what is right, do it, irregardless of the consequences. Do it. When it comes to the will of God, when it comes to the word of God, do it. Regardless of what the consequences are. People may love you, people may hate you, but God will be pleased with you. And that's what matters. Amen? Stand to your feet. I'm done. Praise God. Love you all so dearly. Merry Christmas. We hope to see you Sunday. And if we don't see you Sunday, Merry Christmas. But if we do see you Sunday, we get to say it one more time before that actual day comes. Merry Christmas, man. Praise God. Father, thank you for your sons and daughters. Thank you for this time together. We pray your blessing upon each and every one of them. That the Lord our God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, so that the gates of hell won't prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell, because you're the church of the living God, pillar and ground of truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go. Bless the works of your hands. Order your steps, direct your path, guide you with his eye. In Jesus' name, amen. Trillions are about to come back to the United States of America. Yeah, I'm telling you. Position yourselves. Glory.